So I'm on the BJJ Fanatics website, and I see three new videos by some guy named Thomas Radzinski. You familiar with that guy at all?
Nope, absolutely not.
No? Well, he's got some good stuff. Three brand new videos. They're getting amazing reviews, which is good to see as well. But you got to tell us about them real quick?
Yeah. You know, I had you guys already know, but I had opportunity to go to Boston, shoot three more instructionals, one on butterfly hook, complete guide for butterfly hook, two, wrap, lapel, and submit them. And three, we have taking the back. It's particularly designed for guys for over 40 because there is no climbing involved. All the back days are on the ground. Very, very full and effective system. So dip into it. I'm really hoping that this is going to help your jiu-jitsu and really take it to the next level.
BJJFanatics.com. Just search R-O-Z-D-Z. We have all had that situation where after class is when we want to ask a question. And Thomas, a lot of those questions you've already answered, right, at Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, it's another podcast that I'm running. It's on podcast, all podcast platforms, plus on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. Just search for my name. Search for Ask a Black Belt. At this point, over 100 episodes, different questions, jiu-jitsu, life-related, but something that everybody comes across, and often these questions sink in our mind, but we don't ask for whatever reason. So if that benefits you, go there, listen. It actually might help your jiu-jitsu, might help your life as well. And if you have any questions, find me on Instagram and drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your question and mention your name during the episode.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
And we're live.
Here we go.
Here we go. This was important one to you.
Yeah. It felt kind of silly what I said in a different one about Jeff just now, but it's true. Yeah, I love Jeff. Jeff's awesome. And Jeff pointed me in the direction of Roll. So, that's why it's special. I'm mad at him.
Wow, you're still here, even though you threatened on the X-War show that
I got no place else to go. But Jeff's awesome, and everybody who knows him thinks he's awesome. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about the guy. And I think, if you want to tie it right away into, I got to sneeze, into the takeaway, I think it's because Jeff does his own thing. And he doesn't fall into the trappings of being a coach, being an instructor, being an academy owner, some people off. Many do. And what turns people off, in a lot of ways to martial arts, to, jiu-jitsu, more specifically. And I think that that is why people feel the way they do about the guy.
Say something. So, well, I'm just listening. I'm processing. I mean, there was no question. Jeff is a great guy. I've known Jeff for many, many years. And impact that he's making on a local jiu-jitsu community here in Chicago is unquestionable. I'm just thinking about what you said. Doing his own thing is, should everybody do their own thing?
It depends. I think it depends. Are you speaking specifically jiu-jitsu?
I don't know.
Academies?
Well, yeah. I mean,
there's some chains, for lack of a better word, out there, where everything is done exactly the same, formulaic, from the time the lights go on till the time they go out. And I think that can be limiting. I don't think that structure is a great thing, but can it be too much? And I think, yes, it can. I think that if you become restrictive maybe at some point, and within those restrictions, I think maybe you could stop growing. So you might open a new affiliate, But is the jiu-jitsu getting better? Is the culture getting better? At that point, are you becoming, you know, not a McDojo, but maybe, you know, no different than a regular LA Fitness or whatever, where people are just going in, lining up, bowing in, doing a couple techniques, and then right back out the door so the next class can come in. It becomes an assembly line rather than a community.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely visible in some academies, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, who are we to say that's right or wrong? It works for them, so...
It depends on what your goals are,
right?
You know, and with mm-hmm. Jeff, it seems like that his goals are to...
do your thing.
Yeah, to do your own thing. Come on in, do your own thing. Now, within that, if somebody is an asshole or disrespectful, they're shown the door. And even he said... You know, and they're not beat up and shown the door. It's just they kind of come out in the wash. You mm-hmm. know, that's not, you know, I think if somebody was to come in to here and be disrespectful or be an asshole, it's kind of a casual. Everybody's gonna like, yeah, you know, nobody's gonna want to roll with them. Nobody's gonna want to talk to them. Nobody's gonna want to hang out. They're not, and not through any specific. Instances, they're going to start to feel unwelcome. And they might look at it like, oh, that's not the place for me because they don't go hard or they don't whatever. And then they leave. And I think that's kind of Jeff's approach too is, you know, you don't vibe with us. That's fine. And you want to go down the street to some place that where you do vibe, go for it. See you later, you know?
Well, but listen, end of the day, I mean, what control do we have over what people do? Zero. If somebody wants to go somewhere else, are they going to go somewhere else? Why would you? Why? Like, I don't understand. That part I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why somebody would get upset because somebody does not want to train here. Or maybe they do want to train here, but they want to go somewhere else. Like, why would that matter?
Well, I don't think it does. Well, it does to some people, right?
Right.
And I don't think that's what we're... You know, that's the focus of this conversation. But I think that to go back to my story about the chain, those people get that group of people that I'm talking about will get upset if you go train someplace else. You know, it's there's a lot of different reasons. There's ego, there's control, and Jeff, I don't think has those things. You know, he doesn't, he came up through people who didn't train that way, who didn't teach that way, who didn't put themselves out there to show people that they were better than them. They just did, they went, competed, won a lot, and then went back and, you know, did their own thing. You know, he was talking about how you don't bow in at his school. There's very little hierarchy. White belts aren't, there's no beginner's class. And I think all those things contribute to the culture he's built mm-hmm. where the people that are there feel extremely comfortable. They feel like they can, they know, you know, they have a problem sometimes when they go other places because of the restrictions that are put on them in other places. They're not disrespectful about it, but they didn't know, oh, at Academy XYZ, you can't ask a purple belt to roll if you're a white belt, much less a black belt, right? Or you can't say, oh, man, I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I just got my butt handed me four rolls in a row. I want to take this one off. And the purple belt asks you to roll that you can't say no. So I, you know, it's just, it's a, I find it, refreshing when people have that type of attitude, you know, when they strip down the rules, so to speak, or they strip away the hierarchy. I think it's great. I really do. In the adult class, I think. Kids' classes, it's a little different.
Do you think that approach would work in a much larger environment? Meaning like 500 students?
You know, I don't know. Would it be chaos in the beginning of a class?
This is what I'm asking. This is what I'm asking, right? Because the big upside, and I'm not, you know, saying one is better than the other.
Right.
What I'm saying, there is always a domino effect following it, right? So the big purpose behind separating skill sets or ranks is mm-hmm. to create a certain order in a sense, right? Certain acknowledgement that this person has trained more and, you know, and holds this rank and this doesn't, this person doesn't, right? And that works well in a quote unquote smaller environment. When you put everybody in the room and everybody is equal in a sense, but do you think that would work in a much larger environment? Like significantly larger.
Well,
so
two things. If it was what's your student population? If your student population is higher ranking, then I think it would probably be okay. If the majority of your students in that class are new white belts, well, then it's probably going to be chaos. But to what you were saying earlier about that system, more systematic approach, what's the reasoning? Is it to have an organized class, or is it hierarchy? Is it the reason we have these ranks and the reason we line up this way and the reason you don't ask those questions, and is it for feeding somebody's ego?
You're right. You're right, because there could be different purposes behind it, right? One could be a positive sense of acknowledging people, their success and their amount of time on the mat, and the other one would be to boosting somebody's ego because nobody else holds this rank, or to identify that you are at the top of the pyramid or whatever, right?
You know,
so that there's different purposes behind it, and I think all of this boils to the culture within the group,
right?
Whether the group is 50 or 500, it doesn't matter. But was the cultural goal behind that group? Like, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to get?
Yeah. And I think if it's to have a structured, well run class, so it's not chaos, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. If it's to have a blueprint, so everything could be cookie cutter, and you can have a facility in the next town over, and one next to that, and one next to that, and they're all exactly the same, so that the person at the head gets treated like, you know, they're above and beyond everybody else. Then I think, you know, it's the wrong way to go about it. I think it's all kind of fluid. You know, it's what you want. It's what your goals are. It's how you want a class to be run. All that stuff goes in there.
And Jeff talked about this. This really what creates this diversity in jiu-jitsu as a community between different academies. You're going to go to one academy that is gi only, and they're self-defense driven. You're going to go across the street. You're going to get no gi competition. Both of them are jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Both of them are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Both of them, you will learn tremendous amount, but as far as the culture within the academy and the goals that you can achieve, it's probably slightly different. There are some differences that you as a new student, I feel like you have some responsibility. Some of the weight is on you to determine which place is more fitting for you.
Yeah.
Is this what you desire, or perhaps this would be the better place? And this is not the only two examples. There was probably half a dozen of different flavors or styles of academies that you might find, and each of them will have differences. Like they will be different. And, you know, it's at some point, I think everybody should be able to find a place where they feel comfortable, you know. And then on the flip side, the owner should not be pissed off because somebody left because this was not fitting them. Like that, I find that ridiculous.
No, I've been in the past few episodes that we've recorded with guests. There's been kind of this thread that goes through, there's always the thread about ego, but what is the purpose of the instructor, owner instructor, and his responsibility to the students? And if he can't give that to him, to the students. If he can't give that to the student because that's just not what he does, there should be no problem with letting that student move on. Also, I think a big issue with it is, listen, as an owner and instructor, still more often than not in jiu-jitsu, you're training with your students, which creates a different bond. They're looking at you as maybe a mentor. They're looking at you as a partner
or training partner.
Right. Right. And so the flip side is true too. So mm-hmm. the instructor looks at his students mm-hmm. that way. There's this dynamic that I don't think exists in other avenues, hobbies.
Yeah.
So you have a personal relationship with mm-hmm. that student, and then they want to move away. And I'm not talking packing up the house and moving away. They want to move to a different academy
the street. Across the street.
Yeah. Listen, hey, man, I work in the office here. When somebody's like, I find out somebody's training at one of the other places nearby, there's a moment where it's like, oh, well, you know, that sucks. Why aren't they still here? Mm-hmm. Well, I know why they're not here. They're one, either they are looking for a different type of training or they're looking for a different monthly nugget coming out of their bank account. That's
schedule.
Really, that's
all
it.
Schedule.
Or, well, it used to be schedule. I didn't think. Can't use that excuse here anymore.
But I think there's also another factor that often is not talked about is the fact that a student can actually outgrow the environment that they absolutely. Are in. And I think that's the hard part for many, many instructors out there mm-hmm. that, you know, some instructors hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
Trying to supply the need, but they are not capable of supplying it, right? This is like, who was this? I remember who.
Was it Cohn?
You think so?
I think so.
I remember somebody was talking about this, that this was a long time ago, but mm-hmm. they were talking about it. It's like in school, in elementary school, you don't see teachers
being
you don't see teachers being upset because students is going to the next grade.
Right.
No, you did your job and your job ends.
Right.
Nobody said this is infinite job where you will be in their life forever. And I think this is where a lot of instructors forget. Now, I completely understand. I'm a business owner. I know every student leaving creates a financial impact on me and all my staff and my business, right? But that's not necessarily the right thing to do. Like, we need to ask ourselves, have I done everything that I possibly can for that person? And if the answer is yes, and there's nothing more I can do, it is our job to guide them to the next step to set them for success.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I just had this conversation with somebody in our academy. Like, they are moving a little bit farther away and driving here is not efficient. And helping them find new academy, it was a big part of my goal, a big part of my day. Mm-hmm. Like, why would I put somebody in a point of inconvenience because it benefits me?
Yeah.
Like, I have a hard time processing.
Yeah, there's that whole side of it, and then the other side is maybe you can only take them so far, right? So when I said Cohn, I remember Steve Cohn talking about, you know, he had a jiu-jitsu or a judo instructor that was like, oh, it this is him. It. This is all I can do for you. We did have somebody else that was talking. I don't believe he was the one that used the school analogy, but he did say, you know, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you can only get a person so far. And then you need to hand them off to somebody else. And now we were talking about going to the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Not just a hobbyist or, you know, somebody who competes for the fun of it and all that. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, people need to recognize that fact of, hey, I can only get you so far, you know? And now it's time for you to move on. If you want to pursue this at a higher level than what I can give you, go for it. And I'll put you in contact with the people you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you've already done it on your own, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to be upset by that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great way to look at it. And then if you circle it around to Jeff, all this ego stuff, you know, when Chris Wojcik was putting out his leg lock instructional. Mm-hmm. Jeff, that's all your stuff.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
So what?
Good.
Chris, Chris worked on it with me.
Yeah, exactly.
And Chris can give it to the masses because Chris is
seen. Exposure. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got more exposure. And so who cares if
but
you know,
see, this,
my name's on that or
this
not?
This speaks volumes to the personal maturity of an individual. If mm-hmm. if you are self-aware to the point where you can acknowledge that somebody else can do better things with the things that is yours.
Yeah.
And you allow it to happen for the sake of impact the other people, the audience. Mm-hmm. I mean, that speaks volumes. That's leadership 101, right? Step aside because somebody else can benefit. Step yeah. aside and let your students shine. I mean, that's leadership 101. Mm-hmm. And not many out there are capable of doing that.
Right.
We are often, especially these days, I think we are so egocentric and ego-driven, self-driven, that we forget that a simple gesture of allowing people to shine and allowing people, or setting people for success without us being in a spotlight. Mm-hmm.
No strings attached.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You don't have to put my name on there. You don't have to credit me for it.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's great things. And that all speaks to the environment that Jeff's created mm-hmm. by doing his own thing.
Yeah. Now,
there's probably some academies around the world that do their own thing and it's not as positive.
No.
Yeah. It's just different, right?
Yeah. And listen, on the flip side, there's academies who are very structured and they are still successful, and that's fine too. And I think this this leads into this whole, I think, important part of this conversation, the simple fact that just do what you feel is right.
Yeah.
And find a place that you feel is right for you, because there's plenty to choose from. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be in a place that you don't enjoy, because we spend way too much time on the mat with people that we love. That find a place that you truly love.
Yeah, do what's right. And I think that's it. Just do what's right for you and for everybody else on the mat.
Let's wrap up.
All right, see you.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.